week four in the NFL, and there's one undefeated team remaining. The Chiefs?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, I have Weasel and Chris working with what is what we refer to as an anomaly in sports, where your current best record in the NFL is the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess Chris calls them the chefs because they must be cooking. I don't know. I got nothing there. It's, yay, Chiefs. Right. The Chiefs were actually one of the inaugural featured teams for the student of the game, but they are not any longer. But as far as featured teams go, not very many took the field. We have a grand total of four games for you, as three teams had byes, and a number of double features, one of them including tonight with the Dolphins and the Patriots. Look out for the article on that this evening. And for now, we will start off with your defending Super Bowl champion, New Orleans Saints, in a divisional matchup. I believe it is Weasel who has this one. Bring the heat.
The Saints pulled away with a victory over the still winless Panthers, 16-14. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 33 of 48, 68%, 275 yards, one touchdown, no INTs, sacked twice. Devery Henderson had six catches for 59 yards. Tight end cocky Jeremy Shackey had six for 58. Tight end Dave Thomas, 5 for 42. Lance Moore lost the fumble, but had 5 for 37 with a touchdown. Marquez Colston had 4 for 36, and Lodell Betts had 4 for 23. Always a lot of receiving receivers getting the ball for defense. Drew Brees spreads it out.
That's right.
In the running game, rookie running back Chris Ivory lost the fumble, but had 12 rushes for 67 yards, 5.6 yards per attempt. Lodell Betts had 13 for 47, 3.6. average. Now for the Panthers, rookie quarterback Jimmy Clausen, 11 of 21, 52%, 146 yards, one touchdown, no INTs, sacked three times. In the receiving game, Jonathan Suter had a 55-yard touchdown reception. Rookie wide receiver David Yetis had two catches for 37 yards. Tight end Dante Rosario had two for 17. D'Angelo Williams had a 14-yard catch, while Steve Smith had two for 11.
So, yeah, I never heard of David Yetis before, and I just looked it up right here. He's a rookie out of Baylor. I didn't know they
Baylor.
Played football. No,
yeah.
But, yeah.
In the running game, D'Angelo Williams had 13 rushes for 86 yards, 6.6 average with a touchdown. Jonathan Stewart had 7 for 21, 3-yard average. And Jimmy Clausen had two scrambles for 11 yards. Cornerback Captain Munnerlyn for the Panthers.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah. His name's Captain. That's great. Lost a fumble on a punt return. Now, new Saints kicker, Garrett Hartley, failed. So they got 46-year-old John Carney.
That's one of those new by perspective. Like, Carney's old, but he's new. But then, like, I'm going to call him Rackley, that's not his name. Hartley is the one who's there. He's the incumbent, so he's old, but, like, he's new because he's younger. This is getting confusing.
Yeah. John Carney used to be there, too.
So then he would be the old kicker.
Right, he was new, but now he's the old.
You can't use whiteboards on the air to show this to the audience. Weasel, carry on.
Now, he was actually 3 of 3 for field goals, which included a 25-yarder with 4 minutes left in the game. That was the game winner.
He actually scored the last 9 points for the Saints, too.
Anything worth doing.
Yeah. The Panthers got the ball at their own 28-yard line with less than 4 minutes left after that game winner. It was the game winner. It ended up being it.
Yep.
Clausen drove the team downfield to the 40-yard line, but made a rookie mistake. He took a sack with 54 seconds left on third down, which lost 4 yards. So instead of a 55-yard field goal for the win, they were too far out. So Clausen then threw an incompletion.
So a 59-yarder was
55.
So it was 55. He lost 4 yards. It would have been a 59.
Yeah.
Too far out. Not for all teams. More on that later.
Yeah. That would be a
good segue.
Segue win. So, you're all set there? You're done?
I'm good.
Oh, so you thought you were... Well, see, unfortunately, that's not the next game. The next game...
Ah, I could have the next game.
The Panthers had to go for it and failed.
Yeah, exactly.
More importantly, they had to go for it and fail. But speaking of fail, there was a ton of fail in the game involving the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. Tell us a little about it. We'll just go with that, Chris. Right. Lead on.
The Giants punched the Bears in the mouth, sent Cutler and his backup Todd Collins crying for their mommy out of the game, en route to a 10-sack performance, and won 17-3.
So they punched him in the mouth. Is that like right in the face?
Well, the mouth is in the face. Yes.
I guess so. Okay,
yeah.
We'll take it.
This sent the Bears fans exactly what they needed, because they were talking, oh, we're all big and bad, you know, they beat the Lions off of a controversial call.
Right. They are who we thought they were.
They beat the Lions on controversial my butt, a bad call, okay? They beat the Cowboys on the strength of fact they're catching them in the beginning of the season when they're breaking down like they've done before. And then the Packers beat themselves. The Bears didn't do anything except for show up and happen to have a lower score at the end of the game. Still unimpressed as this guy, and even more so now. And I've been a Cutler advocate in the preseason. You know, I'm saying.
All right, so for the Giants, Eli Manning was 18 of 30, 60% average, 195 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but he lost two fumbles off his two sacks.
Right.
Which were the only two sacks the Bears had. For the Bears, Jay Cutler, 8 of 11, 73%, 42 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, and one lost fumble. Todd Collins, 4 completions, 4 for 11, 36% average for 36 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Caleb Heaney, 3 for 4, 75% for 36 yards. On the ground, Ahmad Bradshaw, 23 carries for 129 yards, a 5.6 average, one touchdown. He did lose a fumble, which led to the Bears' only field goal.
Come on.
Around the 20-yard line.
Come on,
Giants
man.
20-yard line. He did have a long of 25. He put that in. He had still averaged 4.73. Brandon Jacobs had 6 carries for 62 yards, 10.3 average, with 1 touchdown.
Important stat, 0 helmets thrown.
Yeah, 0 helmets thrown, 0 fumbles also.
So yeah, he didn't fumble balls or helmets. Everybody won.
He did have a long of 29 yards, so you take that out, he was still 5 for...
33.
Yeah, 33, so still like a 6.6 average.
Ish, 5 point something, yeah, definitely.
And for the Bears, Matt Forte had 12 carries for 26 yards, 2.17 average. He had a long of 8, which is a quarter of what his, or a third of what his stats are, so it was 1.64 was his average. Chester Taylor, 3 for 22, a long of 11. And Devin Hester had 1 for 11. In the air game, which there wasn't much there either, Hakeem Nicks, 8 catches, 110 yards. Steve Smith, 4 for 30. Travis Beckham, 1 for 25. Ahmad Bradshaw, 2 for 14. And Kevin Boss, 1 for 11.
Well, let's check that gap, though, between Nicks and Smith. It's 110. What was the other one? 30?
30, yes.
So 80. That's 80 yards. That's more yards than the second two quarterbacks that came in the game through. The gap between receiving yards for the top two Giant receivers at 80 is greater than both those quarterbacks threw with 72.
Or the starter and his backup also.
Or the starter and his backup also.
Or the starter and the third string, which
yeah,
we're going to go
right.
with.
It's just, yeah, that's a big day for Hakeem Nicks. Big fantasy points. I don't know if that's points for anybody at this table, but yeah.
And so for the Bears, Greg Olsen, 5 catches for 39 yards. Earl Bennett, 4 for 26. Johnny Knox, 1 for 26.
Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox. Slow day. I didn't get that excited. It was one catch, but it was Johnny Knox. Okay.
Devin Hester, 3 for 16. Matt Forte, 2 for 7. Looking at the stats, first half stats, I had to write these down. Yeah. Passing, the Bears, negative 13 yards.
Awesome.
Giants, 51. Negative 13 yards because they had 9 sacks in the first half.
Nine of these sacks were in the first
nine
half.
9 out of the 10 were in the first half. 9 set the NFL record for the most sacks in a half.
Yeah.
The 10 was too shy of the record.
So the D-line go home, I guess?
But the score was only 3-0 at halftime.
Right, well.
You know, I mean, even though the Giants were just putting a pounding on them, Cutler was out of the game in the first thing. He went out in the second quarter.
Of course, the key to that, what's your turnover count? I mean, it ended up being 3-3.
3-3.
Right, so that's the key to that.
Rushing yards, 35 yards for the Bears, 47 for the Giants in the first half. So you're looking at total yards in the first half, 22 for the Bears and 98 for the Giants.
Which 98 ain't great, but 22 is pretty awful.
11 out of the 12 sacks for the game came in the first half. Total 9 for the Giants.
Oh, okay.
For the Bears.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, Bears had half their sacks in the first half. I mean, hey.
No, the Bears had all their sacks in the first half.
Oh, okay, right. Because I got you. I counted it wrong.
Right. Turnovers, there were 3 each, like we said. Penalties, 8 for 40 for the Bears, 6 of 44 for the Giants. Time of possession, 33 and a half minutes for the Giants, 26 and a half for the Bears. Third down conversion, Giants were 3 for 12. The Bears were 0 for 13. Yes, 0
for
13. 0 for 13 on third down.
Sounds like the Niners offense. No, but and you got a couple statistical anomalies here that are in place. Like, you got 3 for 12 for the Giants, which ain't all that hot. That's a third, right? Or, excuse me, that's a fourth. That's 25%.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Right.
But then you looked at they had 18 first downs. You got a number of times they didn't need third down, so that kind of evens up their performance a little bit more.
But then with the scores and everything, they were led to – the scores were off of the interceptions.
Right. Right.
One of them.
And then on top of – okay, yeah, right. So those weren't third down conversions either. I see what you're saying. And on top of that, like, you see the Giants had some running protection. That was pretty solid. But another reason for the domination and the time of possession would be the contribution of 10 sacks. That's that much more clock that's going to get run off when it wouldn't have if these passes had gotten off. So, basically, the Giants' offense didn't look great. Looked better than the stats entail, especially when you look at that 18 first downs and only needing a third down three times to convert. Right?
Well, yeah.
So that's 15 times they got first downs on downs other than third.
Right.
That's a lot of motion. So, yeah, you got anything else on that?
That's about it.
So, yeah, just your basic good old-fashioned beat down where they got hit right in the face. This next game was a considered beat down. The three of us across the board in our study hall segment last week all got this game wrong, but it was on the strength of some miraculous effort. I attended this game personally this past weekend as the Giants faced off, or excuse me, the Jaguars faced off against the Colts. Divisional matchup, big deal, always a big game. When they face off, period, but it's always pretty close in Jacksonville because the Jags actually play well at home. You got something for
me? Right now, that's what I was about to say 2 weeks ago when the Jags played against Philly. I went with the Jags because they play well at home. And
that game wasn't so much. This game was definitely true. And, I mean, I was walking up there with some of the people I was attending the game with, and at least one of them was a really big Jags fan. He said, Kyle, what do you think has to happen for the Jags to win this game? Well, important plays on defense. This is my response, pretty much verbatim. Maurice Jones-Drew has to go crazy, which could happen. And David Garrard needs to throw like he did the year he went 18 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, which I think was 2 years ago. I don't remember precisely, but it's semi-recent. Checking the stats, let's see if that actually happened. Let's start off.
You're not going to say that they have to score more points?
I let John Madden handle that. Oh, wait, he's retired. I should have. The objective, or no, the team that scores more points wins the game. That's great. And then after he slapped me in the face, then I'd come up with this analysis. So I just skipped that for a
minute. Right.
So we'll go ahead and start off with David Garrard's stats. His first 20 passes, he was 80% for the game, 17 completions, 22 attempts, 77%, 163 yards with 2 touchdowns. So there we have that old form that we talked about. Against Peyton Manning, he didn't have to throw the ball as much. Granted, 33 completions out of 46 attempts, 72%, 352 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an INT. Darn lucky it wasn't 2. More on that later. Joseph Addai, on the ground for the Colts, had a decent day. 16 carries, 63 yards, 3.90 carry. But the man who was busy himself carrying his crew on his back, 26 carries, 105 yards for Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo, and a touchdown. David Garrard ran a number of design plays. One of them, Chris's favorite, at least one of them, I should say, was the option. 5 carries, 44 yards, 8.8. One of them for a touchdown score. I think one of those was the option, and he kept it.
It was the option, and he scored the touchdown.
Right, and then he realized it was just him and a safety and just went all juggernaut and got the touchdown. In the air, Reggie Wayne got a little busy on as he and Manning picked the defense apart at times of the Jags. 15 catches, 196 yards. Did lose a very crucial fumble in the red zone. Dallas Clark, 7 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. However, made a pivotal drop that ended up being Peyton Manning's interception, also in the red zone. Seeing a theme here. Austin Colley had a pretty decent day with 5 catches for 39 yards. More importantly, another touchdown. Somebody else that Chris has been mentioning a little bit, too, is Blair White, the rookie receiver out of Michigan State, for the injured Pierre Garçon and Anthony Gonzalez. Sorry, Weasel, for your fantasy team. 2 catches for 20 yards. I list him here because he kept a number of drives, including one of the scoring drives alive with two fantastic third down catches, very pivotal to the continued motion of the Colts offense. In the air for the Jags, Mike Thomas had 5 catches for 68 yards. Daquan Underwood, another sighting, 3 catches for 41 yards. Mercedes Lewis had a touchdown on his 2 catches for 22-yard day. And Mojo, once again, 2 catches, 16 yards, and another touchdown to go with his running touchdown. A lot of the stats were even. Turnovers, the Colts were behind. They lost the battle. They gave up the ball twice to Jacksonville's 0. But there were some close moments, and a lot of it really came down to the last 2 minutes of the game. Starting at about, let's say, 2 minutes left in the game, second down and 10, Peyton Manning's at about his own 40, throws a ball up, underthrows receiver Austin Cauley. Jags DB has both hands on it in the air, brings it to his hip, still doesn't have quite a hold of it, falls. Would have ended the game right there at 28-21. Well, then we go on to 4th and 10, the one 4th down conversion of the game. Peyton Manning completes a pass. I believe this was to Dallas Clark. I can't remember that part exactly, but it was 4th and 10. That play started with a minute and 47 left in the game. I texted Chris, game decided right there, because I was sure that the Colts would score and win in overtime. And indeed they did score, making the game 28-28 at the end of that drive. But then David Garrard got the ball back. Jags went up the field just a little bit. Then we had a second down play where he threw probably the single best ball I've ever seen him thrown as the receiver goes out of bounds. I believe it was Mike Thomas makes the catch, puts them in what is close to field goal range. Then David Garrard on his back foot, next play, throws a ball in and out of the hands of a Colts defender. So there's a mistake for each side kind of matching it up. That could have, the one could have ended the game for the Colts right there. The other could have sent the game into overtime. So two crucial DB turnovers that were narrowly escaped by the quarterback. So after that play, the Jags decide to go for what was, referencing Weasel's earlier thing, a 59-yard field goal attempt. Too far for the Panthers kicker, just fine for Josh Scobie. And I'll be perfectly honest, had they let this kick loose, I was saying there's no way. It looked like a duck fart flying over the line. I don't know how it got the distance. I don't know how it crossed the goal line. But they signaled good. Jags win. Big deal on that. Now, looking at a little bit more for the Jags D, their numbers stunk, but they made a lot of big plays on third down and 2 turnovers in the red zone. So we got all 3 things that I said they needed to do. Big plays on D when it counted, kind of like the Super Bowl champion Colts played defense, bend don't break, right? We got the big day by Maurice Jones-Drew. We got Garrard making no mistakes. All 3 of those things happen. And on the ground, a lot of ball motion by both offenses in general. 7 for 10, 70%, 9 for 13, 69%. Colts percentage was higher, slightly, but we have 2 more conversions on third down. Probably made the difference in the game overall. Not to mention, oh, by the way, a 59-yard kick. Quite a devastating blow for the Colts. They're 2-2. I say don't panic. It wouldn't be the first time the Colts had trouble stopping anybody and still managed to win, a la the Super Bowl year I referenced when they beat the Bears. But speaking of teams that can stop people, we got a pair of them in our final game for the day. Weasel, talk it up.
In this divisional rivalry of 2 teams that hate each other, the Ravens come out on top with a touchdown. With less than a minute left in the game, Ravens 17, Steelers 14. Charlie Batch was 12 of 21, 57%, 141 yards, no touchdowns, 119, sacked twice. In the receiving game, Antoine Randall-El, 2 catches for 50 yards. He had a big 34-yard reception that brought the Steelers to the 1-yard line late in the first quarter that set up Mendenhall's one of his 2 touchdowns. Tight end Keith Miller had 2 for 32, Mike Wallace had 2 for 24, Hines Ward had 2 for 14. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 25 rushes for 79 yards, 3.2 average with 2 touchdowns. For the Ravens, Joe Flacco was 24 of 37, 64%, 256 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT, sacked once. Derek Mason had 6 catches for 80 yards. Anquan Boldin had 7 for 68. TJ Houshmandzadeh had 3 catches with a touchdown.
Points for Weasel?
Yeah.
Points for Weasel.
And tight end Todd Heap had 3 for 35. Baron McLean had 2 for 13. In the running game for the Ravens, Willis McGahee lost a fumble. He had 14 rushes for 39 yards, 2.8 average with a touchdown. Ray Rice had 8-for-20, 2.5 average. Ron McClain had 2-for-7. And with 7:22 left in the game, Mendenhall ran in a 7-yard touchdown to put the Steelers up 14-10. The Ravens drove down the field to the Steelers' 2-yard line. The Steelers stopped them on 3rd and 4th down. I believe it was both plays. William Gay, cornerback, stopped, I think it was Derek Mason and Bolden on both plays.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. Both very talented receivers.
So the Steelers get the ball back, and they ran 3 times to punish the ball away. More on that a little later.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Weasel, it sounds like Weasel does not approve.
I did not approve. Now, the Ravens get the ball back off a punt, and they got the ball at the Steelers' 40-yard line with 1:08 left. And Flacco completes 4 straight passes, caps it off with a out-and-upish route by Hushmanzada for an 18-yard touchdown to win the game. Now,
yeah, and actually, there was a little bit about that, how the route that was called there was kind of schemed because they had called a number of outs on the DB that was covering Hushmanzada. I don't think it was Gay in this case. But then on this next one, where he eventually did score the touchdown, bit on the out, safety couldn't get over in time, Hushmanzada had field all day.
Flag football, that's exactly what I do. You set up the route, you set up the out, do the out. No.
Unless you're playing someone who could read you like a book because they played your route so many times. It's not your fault. I've known you for a decade. Oh, I guess I meant me.
So, the Ravens did... the Steelers got the ball back with about 30 seconds left, and veteran linebacker Ray Lewis got an interception to seal the game. Now, for this Steelers loss, I contribute it primarily to 2 factors. Steelers play calling towards the end, which was running the ball 3 times.
The predictable 3 and kick.
Inside the 10 with 2:40 left. That burned, I believe, 2 timeouts to put them down to 0 for the Ravens. But what it also did was you're punting out of your end zone, and you give them the ball at about the 40-yard line, and about a minute left. I mean,
bad position.
Yeah. So, and also, Steelers kicker Jeff Reed missed 2 field goals. I mean, they weren't gimmies, but still.
Pop quiz.
Make one of them.
The question you asked me off the air, I pose to you now here for the public. Jeff Reed, shankopotamus.
It's early in the season.
Oh, he's taking this season.
But no.
He's the one that asked the question to get
him. I know.
Well, that's the thing. This time last year, he had missed a kick or two in an important situation, and he had branded it. Like, he had the fire and the ire. And like, shake up out of this. And it was all there. And I mean, I had to get a new desk because that's where he put his brand. It was. But now he's letting this one slide. I guess he doesn't want to buy me another desk.
If he Garrett Hartley's it.
Yeah. I think Hartley's got that one right now.
Hartley? Good call. He missed 2 field goals against the Vikings.
Oh, and that's
the Vikings.
Oh, you're talking about last year. Okay.
In the first game. No, this year. First game of the season, he missed 2 field goals against the Vikings.
About that.
And then he does it against the Falcons. So
I smell that.
Jeffrey's got they're not doing it again.
No.
Come on,
Steelers...
Jeffrey. You got to catch it up to do. You got to miss a couple more field goals.
Not cool.
So here's the pop quiz. If the Steelers are calling Morton Anderson, should Jeffrey worry?
Yeah.
So, light of the fact that we only had 4 shows this week, and we are quite a bit ahead in time based on what I see here. Before we jump to the study hall, I have a number of pop quiz questions, just because there's some funky stuff going on this year. First
you
of all,
tell me about these.
That's why they're pop quizzes. High five with the joke.
You mean we all study for pop quiz? Just open a book, open a note.
Yes, you could look our picks at our picks for last week. It won't matter, but you could look at them.
Sweet.
So
I already know because I'm winning.
More on that later. So, if I asked you who the leader in passing yards was today, granted Brady and Penny have not thrown yet this week, who is it?
Howard.
Correct.
Wow.
Did anybody guess that week 1? No. Now, here's more of the bonus question for your essay portion of the pop quiz.
Unless you paid me.
No. That's not an essay question. Is Kyle Orton, as of this week, granted in an early season, an MVP candidate? Yes or no? Why or why not? Try to make this kind of like a Twitter intro. We don't want to be going on for hours, but give us some thought. Chris?
He's only played 4 games. No, I don't think
everyone's
so
only played 4
right,
games.
Right, I know, but I'm saying that he's only played 4 games right now. At least, it depends what he does the rest of the season.
Isn't that true of everybody?
Yeah, but I don't think he's an MVP candidate right now. All they've been doing is throwing the ball. They haven't rushed the ball. They haven't rushed 1 game over 100 yards. So all you gotta do is pass. I mean, they're 2-for-2. I mean, that doesn't say much for an MVP.
I'll get to that in a minute. Chris, or Weasel.
Well, I think the Broncos first got to make the playoffs. And if Kyle Orton is top five.
Right, you mean for the end of the season. I mean today, week four, right now.
No.
No, okay.
Broncos are sitting at 2-2. No.
Okay, let me tell you why you're both absolutely nuts. Considering that division, and, you know, we got other comparable players who have been MVPs in the past, at quarterback, Brady, Manning. Both of them have the potential to be 2-2. Peyton Manning already is. Okay? He's already leading in receiving yards. Jameis receiver core. Yeah, I get it. He's got Johnny Knox, and Johnny Knox is the man. But no. It's definitely not...
No. Kyle Orton in Denver.
Or excuse me, not Johnny Knox. Sorry, Eddie Royal. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know he's got Eddie Royal, and Eddie Royal is the man. Brandon Lloyd started to show up this year. It's a little new.
Jamar Gaffney is like in a third wing.
Jamar Gaffney, whatever. He's, yeah, great. No. And he's down a significant tight end threat. He did have Daniel Graham last year. Eddie Royal is your leading dude. That's all you got. No. Whereas Brady has Moss and the weapon.
Okay.
What? Yeah, right. Brady's got the two of them. Manning has got, not Garcon right now, but he's got Reggie Wayne. He's got Dallas Clark. He's got a number of other ladies. He's got Austin Colley, who is only lately a hero, but... yeah, I'll grant that his record should be lower than it really is, but it's him throwing the ball over 50 times as many times as he had, and oh, by the way, they're winning those games. The fact that they don't have a run game is why I think he's a hero. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
So, now, will he end up being the MVP? Probably not. That's why doing some reporters do quarter season awards. You won't see that here at the Student Game because they're absolutely ridiculous. Kind of like preseason predictions, but I digress. Speaking of predictions, it is now time for our study hall segment, where we will give you our picks for the upcoming week. And now Chris is smiling all eagerly because we're about to go over what everybody's record was. It would turn out being a homer has served him well, at least for this past week. He picked the Giants, he picked the Giants over the Bears, and he was the one difference in the game there too. So he's at, 9-3 for the moment? Overall, for the 2 weeks, and then
9-4.
Okay, yeah. I'm at 8-5 because while I didn't pick the Giants, I did pick the Ravens to beat the Steelers. And Weasel, unfortunately, was a homer, and it didn't serve him.
Whatever. Jeffrey could make field goals, and I would have won.
Oh, see, look at him blaming it on Shankopotamus.
Yeah, but
whatever.
You were whipped, and you picked the Bears. So.
You were the one talking smack on people being homers last week.
Yeah,
were you?
Giants.
What?
When I picked the Giants, you're like, homer, yes, all right! I got a homer comment in there!
You were so proud of yourself.
Oh,
good job, the homer! Oh,
yeah. I was, actually.
Yeah. The 2020 of hindsight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right. But I told you, watch, they're fixing something, which was their mistake, the Giants.
Okay.
Their offense didn't show up, but, you know, they showed their defensive mistakes.
Against a bad offensive line, right. That was Mike Martz coached, who's notorious for creating an offense that takes a long time to develop. I'm not taking anything away, but there's a couple things to help. It's not as bad as, you know, like back when Kyle Boyle was a Raven and would run up the score on the Vikings, but...
But it wasn't even that. I mean, I should have gone over this though. I mean, the Giants were only rushing four. It wasn't like they were blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
They were sending their four, Justin Tuck, Osiu Manara, Cofield. They were sending only four against the Bears five,
and those ends
they were
actually
getting a sack.
Right, and those ends each actually had three sacks each, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I mean, the defensive line played like they were supposed to in, and again, not taking away from them, the Giants were playing against a system that suited those ends to do well. Even still, 10 sacks, damn, I'm just saying.
Nine in the first half,
which, I mean, I guess they tried to make a halftime adjustment, but not so much. On that one, Cutler and Martz has been getting the blame. I don't necessarily think that's far-fetched for that game, but let's just face it, they shouldn't have been undefeated. Of course, the Chiefs at undefeated still messes with my head. I don't know about y'all. Anyways, speaking of other contests, let's go ahead and take it over to our study hall segment where we go over the next week's games to try to give you our version of what we think is going to happen this week. And let me call up the list here, too. So Chris is at, what do you say, 9-4?
Yeah,
I'm at
9-5. 9-4.
And then Weasel is
count last Monday night game.
Right. And then Weasel is 7-6. Also, we would have had an opportunity for the score to change, but the gap will still be the same because we all picked the Dolphins for tonight's game. Mostly on the strength of the fact that the Patriots' defense isn't what it used to be. So, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, but Weasel's got Vikings with the bye.
That was a draw. They went into overtime and stayed tied at the end of that, so that comes out as a draw, officially.
In one. So I got a tie?
yeah, you are... What is
something
it?
Point
you
five.
You are 7-6-1. What they do in the soccer and everything.
That's a tiebreaker. I'll get it. That works with me.
You know, it's going to come down close.
But I picked the bye, so it was a tiebreaker too. So I got that extra one. God, like,
I abstained because I knew the outcome of the game. I knew there was a fix. I had no idea. So,
you go first.
I'm not sure. Do you have it in front of you? On,
yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and give
Jags,
it a first.
Jags, Bills.
Jags, Bills. Weasel, go ahead.
Jags.
Okay. Short and sweet.
Yeah, the Jags should be able to run all over the Bills, so I'm thinking Jags, even though they are playing in Buffalo. But, you know, the wind up there, Gar doesn't need to throw, so I think Mojo will just run all over them.
Right. And that's very sound. There's something else to consider, that the Jags seem to always do poorly against the Bills. It's the game they struggle with. However, and this is kind of a trap game in that same sense too, to where they just had a big game beating the Colts. They're traveling to Buffalo. All that aside, Buffalo is in such a darn shamble. I don't see them doing much of anything. I see Mojo going crazy again. Put me down for the Jags as well. Which will bring up our next game: Indy facing off against the undefeated Chiefs. That still sounds wrong. Chris, what you got?
I'm thinking the Colts, but they need to stop. They need to stop the run. They need to stop Thomas Jones and the other running back there.
McCluster?
Not McCluster.
Oh, Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles. They need to stop them too in order to win this.
Weasel.
I don't know how the Chiefs are doing it, but I'll pick the Colts. Maybe they'll bring them back to earth. We'll see.
I think what you say is 75%, the other 25 being special teams, and more special teams. However, when we know for a fact that the Colts defense may not be able to stop anybody, but let's see what they do when the ball's in the hands of Peyton Manning for most of the game. I got the Colts as well. Especially, they'll probably be a little bit miffed at the fact that they just lost to the Jags. They're at home. Yeah, I got the Colts. Let's go then to Carolina and Chicago. Weasel.
Chicago. I think that was... Well, Cutler doesn't play. That's one thing. But Carolina... Okay. Carolina's still starting a rookie. So, and...
And a mediocre one at that.
Yeah. So, Bears defense, I think, is going to come up big. Bears.
Chris.
Yeah, I think the Bears are disappointed from last night, so they're going to come out fired out. I think the Bears will take off a bit.
I'm forced to pick the Bears. I really believe that Weasel is a correct pick this week. He's not just doing it to make his girlfriend feel good. And on top of everything else, Jimmy Clausen is one of the biggest jokes since, not Jamarcus Russell, because, you know, Jimmy Clausen's actually playing football. But he never should have been drafted. He definitely shouldn't be starting now. He can't even do that, really. Oh, yeah, right. And I see Brian Urlacher having a really big day feasting on the Panthers' backfield. Which brings us then to the Bucs in Cincinnati. Does anybody have the Bucs in this game?
No, neither of us do.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Moving on.
So who are you picking, Kyle?
The Bucs, not. which brings us to the Giants and the Texans. I'm very curious about this game. I'm going to pick the Texans on the strength of the fact that the offense will have to score a lot more to keep up with the Texans. I mean, the defense got hot. That's all great. It's nice to see them back in the game. The offense needs to show up for this game. I don't think they'll do it, and I don't think they'll keep up with Schaub and Andre Johnson.
They actually get a boost up on defense with Ryan Cushing coming back off his suspension.
That's an excellent point as well, Weasel.
Yeah.
You can keep going and give us your pick, too.
I'm just
going
to pick the Giants.
Great point. I don't care. That was an excellent, well-thought-out point. Yeah. Overruled.
I forgot about Ron Cushing coming back to Texas.
Yeah.
I already had the Texans written down here for them, because I just think you know, the Giants' offense is still struggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they moved the ball up now 2 weeks ago, and, you know, when their game, and then this week they couldn't move the ball that much. I mean, it still had 300 something yards of offense, but I think the Texans have a better, you know, I think they're going to be well prepared, and Chubb and Andre Johnson back healthy. I know he had an injury, he was injured, you know, last week. So with him, Andre Johnson, and Kevin Walters, I don't think the Giants can hold off.
Okay, and which will bring us to our last one before the Monday night game, that being the Saints and the Cardinals. Anybody going to pick the Cardinals?
No.
Okay, we all got the Saints for that.
Yeah, right? The Cardinals are, might be starting rookie quarterback, whatever his name is. I can't remember. They yanked
Anderson?
Anderson, and they put their rookie in, and they don't know what's going on, and
It's just looking rough all the way around, like, because I know the Chargers went all roughshod over them, and, you know, now the Chargers think they're good again, lame. But is this Matt Hall? Max Hall?
Yeah, Max Hall. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, great. That was an excellent segue, Chris. I'm working on that. That's, what, Brigham Young?
Brigham Young.
Okay, so, yeah, excellent segue. Almost a car wreck because nobody knows who he is, but excellent segue. So that'll put us back to the Monday night game, which is the Jets facing off against the Vikings. Chris, what you got?
I'm going with the Jets. They should be getting Pace back, and they're also getting
Calvin Pace, right?
Calvin Pace, and they're also getting Holdout Boy.
Yes, Revis will be coming back from his injury.
All right, so both of those will add on to their defense, and Favre's going to be reaching for his walker.
Weasel.
Favre's going to be handing it off to Peterson. So it's going to be LT versus Peterson again. My brain says Jets. My heart says Vikings.
I wanted to say this. Double homer! No. So as the deciding voice in the third, that is the voice of reason, it'll be Adrian Peterson versus LaDainian Tomlinson. Not so much. Okay, first of all, Favre's going to turn it over at least twice before it gets to that point, and then at some point, the Jets defense will devour Adrian Peterson to drop the ball a couple times as well. Last week, I know it was against the Bills. The Jets had two runners breaking 100 yards, and oh, by the way, they could still throw the damn ball when it's time too. The Vikings haven't really faced anybody balanced other than maybe the Saints, and they will continue to struggle against balanced teams. I got the Jets.
Two important stats on that, though, the Jets game is, last week, Jets versus Bills for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
LT didn't even play that much in the second half. Sean Green got all his yards in the second half.
Right, they both had greater than 10 carries, I know that.
Right, but all Sean Green carries were almost in the second half. They kind of sat LT.
Actually Sean Green, yeah, that's right. Sean Green had 19 carries because the two of them combined for 41 carries on the day. So they both had just over 20 if you average the two of them out. So they both carried the weight. It's kind of like Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson back in that day, for those who remember back that far from the Chiefs.
Right, now, and LT came in on third downs there, but also Sanchez. Zero
INTs
right now.
Yeah, he's doing pretty solid with that. I don't think he had one last week either.
Zero INTs right
against
the season.
First.
No, he didn't have any in the first game.
Okay. Oh, those were just. I think he just had a fumble. That's right. So he's going zero interceptions. Yeah. I did not know that. Okay. Kind of a big deal of that. How many interceptions does Brett have?
He has a lot. He's back to being far.
I believe the stat is 7 all year. The previous year, I think he's at least 5 now. Oops.
He's on pace to beat that.
Yeah, but
good call,
you're thinking first game with the Ravens and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And Sanchez didn't even throw the ball further than 5 yards down the field. So, I mean,
so he couldn't throw it as far as a corner to pick it off.
Right.
Got it.
So that's how I still at zero.
So
it looks like we're going to be, me and you, Nash, are going to be the same. Only through again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he and I.
And
so
we
I
have
guess,
two games difference from Lee.
So I guess we're.
This is where I regain the lead.
You can either tie me.
Forget
the
way
tie,
back.
I think
we'll call this week. Chris and I will refer to this week as adjusting our rear view so we can see Weasel, and then the two of us will begin the battle. With all that in mind, if you would like to weigh in on our picks as well, you can always email us at thesotg@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at thesotg, or just come check us out at the site www.thestudentgame.com. And if you're not already, go ahead and subscribe, and you can get this awesome podcast to you automatically in your email, in addition to all the articles and coverage directly. For Weasel and Chris, I'm Kyle. See you at week 5.